All right, we're being recorded. Well, Fern, it's a small group here today, but we'll manage as best we can. So this week is Parshas Bahalotcha. There's a lot of interesting items in Parshas Bahalotcha. There's a famous Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha where he speaks about, it's based on a memorable Chazal. Rashi says, "Lamanis mecha parsha menorah lechanukat anasiyim." Why is it that the parsha, the menorah, in other words, the Torah teaches me about the mitzvah of hadlakat neirot at the very opening of the parsha? Why is that juxtaposed near the parsha with the nasiim? In last week's parsha, Parshas Naso, mentions all the 12 nasiim, and the next thing we have here today, it mentions the parsha of the menorah. So Rashi says, "Lefishek shara Aaron chanukat anasiyim chalsha azdaito," that when Aaron saw the Nesiim, that they were dedicating the Mishkan, and each bringing a korban, these are the princes for each one of the tribes. So Chal Shai's Daito, so he felt Shvach, I feel lousy. He was not involved with the dedication, neither he nor his Shevet. In other words, Shevet Levi, in other words, even beyond Kuna, Shevet Levi wasn't involved with it. He says, Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu Chayecha Shlucha Gdula Shamin Lahem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Chayecha means by your life. It means Lashon Shvua, like you're going to have much greater portion than what they get. He says, Shatam Adlikim Meitiv at a Neirot. You're going to be able to light and Meitiv and clean out the Neirot of the menorah. So in some way, the menorah is given as a substitution for this the Chanukah and the Nesiim. Now, there's a famous Ramban on this. The Ramban says, you know, from Rashi, it sounds like Rashi is focusing on the mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot in the Mishkan, and then later on in the base of Mikdash. That's the way from Rashi, it sounds like. So there's Ramban, he says, why did Hashem comfort him with Hadlakat Neirot? He has so many more things he could comfort him with. He could comfort him with bringing the Ketoret, or the Korbanot, or the Avodah Yom Kippur. In other words, why is it that this is the comfort for Aharon? So the Ramban, based on different sources, says the comfort was not that menorah, that really a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's based on a memory of Chazal, really a Kadosh Baruch Hu was referring to the menorah in the time of the Chashmonaim. That they're going to light the menorah, and mainly he's saying that you're going to have all the korbanos of the Beis Hamikdash, they're only around when the Beis Hamikdash is around. But the Neirot, these Neirot which I'm giving you, in other words, your progeny are going to be the Chashmonaim, and they're going to create this mitzvah, and they're going to have the menorah, and so that's going to be your greater chelik. Everybody will be lighting menorah in their homes. They have this mitzvah of Hadlakat Neirot. So there's a piece from the Sefer Shirit Menachem. Shirit Menachem, he was a Hasidic Rebbe, and he went through World War II, and he was one of the Shiris HaPleita, and he went to Paris after the war. You know, at YU, they have, the library there, they have a tremendous collection of Sfarim. So I went and I took the Sefer, not recently, I took it off the shelf, and in the Sefer was a letter from the author, but it was like a mimeograph letter when they used to use that type of thing, and asking for a contribution for the Sefer. So anyway, but so I left it in the Sefer. I figured it's good, it'll be part of the next person can see the letter. So in the Sefer, he says, and again, this is brought down the Yiturei Dad, he says the reason Aaron was feeling so shvach is because the reason that the Nesiim got a chelek in the Chanukah Samishkan, he said, was what Rashi says, the Nesiim are the ones who got beaten on behalf of the Jewish people. In other words, they were the Jewish foremen in Egypt, and they were trying to advocate on behalf of all the workers, and they got beaten because of that, and because they were beaten, so later on they were the ones that were zochet to be Nesiim. That's what Rashi brings down in Parshas Naso. All right, one second. So Aaron felt shvach because neither he nor his shevet were involved in the Shibud of Mitzrayim. Excuse me, the phone is ringing. I just got to take that. I'm sorry. One second.
How are you, Arthur? Arthur, how are you?
No. Did you use the link that I sent you yesterday?
Enjoy this last Shabbos in Florida, Arthur.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Enjoy your last Shabbos in Florida. And have
my last Shabbos. I'll be home yet to Shem for next.
Right. Have a good, safe trip.
Yeah, I'll be home for next trip.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I have a question.
Jocelyn, she can't get on. 1 second. Let me see if I can help her.
Yeah.
1 second.
Tell What's her to check the link from...
That's what I told her. I don't know.
Oh, she may not be a member. I'll send her the link. Tell her I'm sending her the link.
Okay, okay. All right.
But I have a question.
Try it and see if it works, okay?
But what's the question?
All right. Anyway, let's get back. All right. One second.
Can I ask a question in the meantime?
Wait. I'm going to finish this piece, and then we'll do question, okay? Now,
I can't hear you.
Let me just finish this piece, okay. And then we'll have all questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? Give me just 3 more minutes. So he says that the reason that Aaron, the way the Sheiris Menachem explains it, the reason Aaron felt so lousy is because the reason that the Nesi'im got honored, the reason that the Nesi'im were there, because they were involved in the Shibud in Mitzrayim. But Levi, Shevet Levi, was not in the Shibud, was not in the enslavement in Egypt. And Mimela, so he couldn't get anything. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, look, they had Mesiris Nefesh, but that was out in Galus, outside of Eretz Yisrael, and didn't leave any permanent Roshem. And you don't say a halil on Eish Shebechutz La'aretz, but you have a greater role, because you're going to be Madlik Meitiv Neirot. In other words, you're going to Madlik, he says, Neir Yisrael. It means like you and your Shevet are going to be at the head of a rebellion, and Matthew is going to say, Mila Hashem Eli, and through you, it's like he says, that we built the Malchus Yisrael, the Jewish kingdom, and that'll be a symbol forever, that will last forever. So that's the basic. So it's really just sort of fleshing out or building on the Ramban. So let me just summarize again what we did, and we'll see how this works. And I hope that Olivia, I had so much trouble with the Zoom or whatever with the thing, but anyway, so again, so we had the Rashi. Rashi says that he gave him the chama with the menorah. So the pashas in Rashi is he gets the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan and the Beis Mikdash. That's the pashas. Okay, Livia, nice to have you today, Livia. Livia, I think if you had checked the email I sent yesterday, it was the same link that Fern just sent you. I think it would have worked. All right, you tried, but it didn't work. Okay, but either way. Now, anyway, so we did the first Rashi on the Parsha, or the beginning of the Rashi, the beginning of the Parsha, says that, I'll just repeat a little bit for you, Olivia. He says that, that why is the Parsha of Noah right near the Parsha of Nesi'im? So he says that when Aaron saw, about the Nesi'im, and he didn't have a chelik in it, because neither he nor his shevet, he felt lousy, so he gave him the menorah. So from Rashi, it sounds like he got the mitzvah of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan. And then the Ramban, he brings all these different proofs, and among his questions the Ramban asks on Rashi is, if that's the nechama, why didn't he say, I'm giving nechama with ketoret, I'm giving nechama with being korbanot, he got everything going there. So he says it's not talking about that menorah, it's talking about the menorah that's from the Nes of Hanukkah, that the Chashmonaim are going to go and rededicate the Beis Hamikdash, and then you'll have this mitzvah of lighting the menorah of like going on for generations. And that is, so the Sheirit Menachem is a Hasidic Rebbe, so the Sheirit Menachem says that it means that Aaron felt upset for the reason. He says the Nesim were being honored because they had been the foremen in Egypt during the servitude, and they were advocates for the Jewish people, and they got beaten down because of that. So because of that, they got to be Nesim. But Aaron, his Shevet Levi, was never included in the Shibud of Mitzrayim, so he felt lousy. So Hashem said, don't feel lousy, because your progeny, i.e. the Chashmonaim, they're going to lead this big rebellion, and they're going to, Matzitiah was going to proclaim Mila Hashem Eli, and you're going to establish the Malchut Yisrael, the Jewish kingdom, and as a result of that, there's going to be this mitzvah of menorah. Okay, what do you got for me, Fern? Fern? I think I lost Fern.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
In terms of timing, where was Aharon in terms of what he knew was within his purview? He knew he was Kohen Gadol already. He had probably lost Nadav and Avihu already. I mean, he knew he had a lot of achrayot, so to speak, and he was given a lot of kibudim. So do any of the mefarshim slam him for feeling bad.
That he shouldn't have felt bad?
Yeah, because he's got so much else. You know, like that little thing we learned in first grade with the moon and the sun.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, you know, if it's material things, it's not good to want a lot. But in mitzvahs, it's good to want more and more. So I don't think if it's ruchnius, I don't think it's
a bad thing. But he had so much money. He was on the very, very top of that cast.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'll do another little shot with this. I didn't see anybody. I'm sorry, Aaron? Yeah, Arthur, you want to say something?
Yeah, I saw something on this, that when it says Chol Shedaitai, he wanted to, like you said, he wanted to do the mitzvah. And there's a theme that most people, you don't recognize here, but there's a common theme, to want to do mitzvahs. How about Lom Nigara?
Right. Okay, we're gonna come to that. Yeah, we're gonna come to that. Hopefully, we'll come to it. By the Pesach Sheni, he's saying. So Aaron Moshe was saying that Aaron wanted to do more mitzvot, and there's nothing wrong about wanting to do more mitzvot. I think that's kind of similar to what I wanted to say. Actually, there's a piece here in the Yeturei Torah. He says that he wants Gufa to say that, and he says that his chalishus das, his shivron lev, was greater than theirs. In other words, his desire to constantly do more and more. In other words, he's taking a play on Rashi. Rashi says Chalsha Azdaito. So he says, like, in other words, like he felt badly. In other words, he always wants to do more and more and more. And that's why Chalsha Azdaito. So Hashem is saying to him, that's a good siman. That's a good siman that you have the desire to do more and more. Now, I'll mention a little bit of a story and then I'll do something else. He quotes here, maybe you know, I don't know this Hasidic Rebbe, Aaron Moshe, but he says, the Admiral Reb Hirschle Me Ulik. He says he left it when he was a youngster, he left his town in order to go into Galus. So in Europe, people would go into Galus. They would wander from place to place as a way for to be mitaking themselves. So he says, so he went with like sackcloth, and then he bumps into a farmer. So the farmer says to him, where are you going, young man? So he says, I'm going to look for work. He says, in your town, don't they have work? He says, hard to find. So the farmer said, you're making a mistake. If a person's energetic and he's not lazy, he finds avoda, work to do, even in his house. So after a number of, period of time, Reb Hirschle became known as a Hasidic Rebbe among the Hasidim. So he would relate to the Hasidim this story, and he would add on, when a Jew really wants to sincerely serve Hashem, he can find even in his house much to do avoda. Meaning, like, there's so much to improve in a person himself, you know, with midod, or with the spirit mitzvot, or with learning, or the members of his household. And that's what I think he was saying to the members of his household. Aaron Moshe, have you heard, do you know this Hasidic Rebbe at all or not? I don't know.
I've heard of it, but they've also said this about the Chagas Aryeh and the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon and the Chagas Aryeh both went into Gaon.
Yeah, it's very hard to... Arthur, our connection is very poor today. All right. I don't know. We have a very, you know, your picture has frozen and the sound is not so clear. But all right, let's see.
I'm trying to go on the computer.
His picture
now.
Has a beard.
I'm trying to go on the computer.
Yeah. Okay. Now it's a little bit better.
Okay. The Vilna Gaon has the goals. And they went in for purpose.
Turn off the other one, Arthur. Turn off the other one. Close out of the other one. I'm getting a double sound. No, you close out this other one. Let me see. All right. Go on, Arthur. I'm sorry. Unmute yourself, Arthur. Unmute yourself.
Okay, what I'm saying is the Vilna Gaon and the Chagas Aryeh both went into Galus.
All right, that's it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. All right, I'm moving on. It's not the greatest connection.
I think I'm losing the connection.
The connection's not so good. All right. Anyway, let's
sing the Bilbon and the Shagasar. You both went into Golos.
Yeah, I heard that. All right. Okay, let me move on. All right, now, the menorah is a seven-branch candelabra. So there are different things. You know, again, the menorah, there are two kelim in the Mishkan, the menorah and the Aron. And Rav Simon has said that they each represent the Torah, but the Aron represents Torah Shebichtav and the menorah represents Torah Shebal Peh, or the Aron represents both Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh, but the menorah represents like Pilpul and Chiddush, like the energetic, you know, exposition of the Torah. So
I heard it.
Okay, wait, Aron Moshe, please just wait 1 minute, okay? Wait, just wait one minute and we'll come to you, okay? Now, now he brings down here from Rav Yoel Ashkenazi, this is from the Sefer Melechet Machshevet, that the seven branches of the menorah are merames, they allude to the seven chachamot. There are seven wisdom, seven branches of wisdom. Now, there's different ways to break it down, but the medieval way is to do, you have mathematics, engineering, music, astronomy, nature, theology, and philosophy. So you have seven branches. The middle one is the Torah. I guess that'll be theology. And then you have all these other branches. So it could be a remez that there is a role for these things, but they all have to be turning towards the Torah. Now he says it's brought down in the Gra. This is from a Sefer Tzvi Yisrael. It's brought down from the Gra that whatever person lacks in other chachamot, he'll also be lacking in chachmas haTorah, because all the chachmas are included in the Torah. But a person has to give primacy to the Torah. This is the piece really that I was saying before. He says that's the mother of all wisdom. Now I want to just say over, and it's related, this piece from the Netziv. Let me get the Netziv out. Let me find the Netziv. One second. Where's my Netziv? One second. Where did it go? One second. Okay, I got it. So the Netziv was head of the yeshiva in Volozhin. So at the beginning of Parshas Baalotcha, so it's brought down, the Netziv says like that. Listen to his words. He says, Mishum Shabbatorah Shabbat Nechlal Sheva Chachamot, Shabli Yidi Bechol Chachamot, Yiv Shar Lavo Lakam Ikare Torah. The Netziv says, without delving into these other Chachamos, these other wisdoms, a person can't arrive clearly at other fundamentals of Torah. So he gives examples like things with Shiorim, Kiddush HaChodesh, like you may be calculating the new moon, things like that. And then he says, and if a person is a person has eyes, he can find all the other wisdom, it's merumas and Torah Shebichtav. And he quotes the Gemara in the beginning of Sechet Bechorot that Rabbi Yeshua was able to calculate how long the gestation period is for a snake from the Torah. So he's able to calculate this thing out. Actually, it also relates to Daf Yomi. I think he says, or anyway, so he says, I think it came out that he didn't find a pair, like everything has a pair, and the snake takes 7 years, he says. Anyway, so he says, so I think Rameir Shapiro, this is going on a different thing, he wanted to say the snake represented the Yetzer Hara, but the thing that it's paired off with is the Daf Yomi. So if you do Daf Yomi, it's like counteracts it. And he says, so anyway, that's the basic idea. Now, this has a lot of application, you know, for us, it's like a little bit with Torah Mata. Like the, you know, I remember years ago they had these Torah Mata lectures at YU, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha, was speaking at one of them. And this I went to with Rev Lerner many years ago, and he was giving reasons, you know, to justify studying secular learning. I remember one of the reasons he said is like it enhances your, you know, observance of mitzvot, because without the secular knowledge, you can't understand all these other mitzvot. Like, let's say you like, even, I don't remember if he gave this example per se, but like even with, he may have, like, even with chametz, you want to figure out, well, when is something chametz? You have to understand, like, the fermentation process. And we said about Kiddush HaChodesh, you know, Dr. Lamb, who was the president of YU, just passed away, I think it was about a week ago, or the funeral was last Sunday. It seems so long ago already, but it was just, so he passed, or am I saying it right or not? He won the Sunday after Shavuos. So now it's already Chaf. No, so it's 2 weeks ago. Yeah, so it's 2 weeks ago. This Sunday will be 2 weeks ago since his funeral, this Sunday. So the so they had an Azkara for Dr. Lamb this past week, and one of the speakers was Rev Michal Rosenzweig. And among other things, he mentioned how this week is that we read about the menorah. And he said the Mitzvah menorah is to both clean the candles, like Meitiv of the menorah, and light the candles. So he's saying lighting the candles represents learning, spreading the Torah. And Meitiv, he was saying, represents like doing all the work you have so other people could study Torah. So he was saying Dr. Lamb, he was saying, did both. That when he became president, so he continued to, you know, publish and to engage in learning and disseminating Torah, but he also worked that other people could, you know, get Torah. And Rav Schachter spoke earlier during the Shiva, they had, I know you heard this, Fern, during the Shiva, they had an Azkara, and Rav Schachter said that Dr. Lamb made it possible that there's no charge for smicha students at YU. They do have like a registration fee, but there's no tuition charge. And he said that Dr. Lamb had raised enough money so that that could continue to be the policy. All right, what do you want to say?
I never knew that till I heard.
Yeah, I tell you, the sound is really terrible today. Not coming through clearly. All right. Now, Aaron Moshe, did you want to say something? Unmute yourself. You want to say it? What's up?
I wanted to say that I saw somewhere that the seven candles are merumas to the Chamisha Chamisha Torah. But in our parsha in the
seven Amidbar,
it goes into three svarim, so it becomes out to seven.
Okay,
so goes,
very nice.
There's some rumors to all the seven. But we're not familiar with all the chiddushim in the old seven. The other thing that I wanted to say is that the Chassidus Rebbes, they used to say you got to watch the achana from lighting the candles of the Rebbe. Is sometimes more important than the lighting itself. The achana for lighting.
All right. Listen, I want to get some other things. I had a lot more at Divrei Torah. I thought, you know, I always think I don't have enough, and then I end up with like so much that like it's just not enough time for everything. So let me get to a piece that Rav Simon spoke about.
You can leave
this
it
spoke
to
about
us
3 years
to wait
ago.
Time.
Leave it to you to wait? To what? I'm sorry. It's hard.
Some of your time, don't worry.
Anyway, so the all right, the connection is very okay, the connection is very poor today. It's hard for me to hear you, and even the movements are getting frozen, but we'll do the best we can. So at least we still have electricity. Like, remember a few weeks ago I lost electricity on a Friday. So if you remember, we like Aaron Moshe had mentioned, we have the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni in this week's parsha. So it talks about that if you have to bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, and then there were people who were Tmeim, and they said, we're Tmeim l'nefesh Adam, lama nigara. Why should we be less, you know, in an inferior position, and we want to do it? And then Hashem comes back and says that if a person is Tamei, that he could bring the Pesach Sheni. You know, Rav Schachter writes, he has a commentary that came out recently with his comments on the Haggadah, and in it he talks about Pesach Sheni. So mentions over there, you know, among Ashkenazim, the real minhag is to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni from Ashkenazim. Sfardim don't, and now among Hasidim, they make different, you know, a lot of Hasidim have a custom to eat, I think, matzah on Pesach Sheni, and certainly not say Tachanun. And now it's becoming a little more prevalent generally not to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. So Rav Schachter was writing that, like, the halacha is you only have Pesach Sheni if there's a Pesach Rishon. So if everybody brought the Korban on Pesach Rishon, then there's a Pesach Sheni. But if the Tzibur didn't bring the Korban Pesach on Pesach Rishon, there is no Pesach Sheni. So he was saying that, so today there's no Beis HaMikdash, so Mamela, as a matter of halacha, there is no Pesach Sheni. So he was saying, like, there is no reason to not say Tachanun, and that's the reason Ashkenazim, I mean, there is no reason to leave it out, so that's the reason Ashkenazim, you know, do say Tachanun, at least theoretically, on Pesach Sheni. All right, now, with this issue of Lama Nigara, so first I want to do a piece. Let me see if it's here. Yeah, Now, this, I think I did this a number of weeks ago with you. This was in Rav Simon, but it was in Parshas Emor. It's from the Agra Dekala, from the Bnei Yisachar, that's from Sfi Elimelech of Dinov. So he says like this, he quotes the Or HaChaim asks on the Parsha, what are they asking? How come we can't bring the Korban Pesach? He says, we're anachnu tameim l'nefesh shadam. When they say, we're tamei, that's why you can't bring it. So they have the answer, we're tamei, we can't bring it. So what's that's the end of the whole thing. So that's one thing. And then he says, why is it say anachnu tameim l'nefesh adam? What is the bitui l'nefesh adam? What's the adam? So the Agra Dekala says that when it says adam, it's referring to a tzaddik. So in other words, we're tmeim lenefesh adam to a tzaddik. So he connects this to the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara says Masechet Sukkah, who were these people? And the Gemara gives one answer, they were Nosei Aron Oshel Yosef, the people who were carrying the Aron of Yosef. Or another pshat is, they were the people who were tamei to take Nadav and Avihu out. So the thrust of what he wants to say is that the people that they were metame for were tzaddikim. They were tzaddikim. Now, just 1 minute, Aron Moshe, we'll get to you. One minute. I'll pause in a few minutes. So they were tzaddikim. So he wants to say that, and there's a whole thrust, like a source to say that tzaddikim are not metame, that a tzaddik is not metame. We discussed. So he mentions that there's a medrash that Eliyahu Navi was mitasek in the kvur of Rabbi Akiva, even though he was a Kohen. And we discussed that, I think, previously. So they wanted to say, so since we're tmeim lenefesh adam, we became tame, but lenefesh adam to a tzaddik. So it shouldn't be mitame, so why can't we bring the Korban Pesach? So he says that if you look at the end, when the answer comes back, it says Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor. Speak to Bnei Yisrael. It doesn't say like by Benot Slavchad. In other words, we have two cases where the people come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Let me ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu." So the Benot Slavchad come to Moshe, and they say, "You know, Lama Nigara? Why should we be left out of the Yerusha and Eretz Yisrael?" So then the answer comes back, Kein Benot Slavchad Dovrot. That Taka, they have a good Taina, they can get a Yerusha. Here, it doesn't say these people have a good Taina. Instead, it says, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, say to Bnei Yisrael that if a person is Tamei, so he'll bring on Pesach Sheni. If he can't bring on Pesach, he shall bring on Pesach Sheni. But in Achinami, according to the Agra Dekala, these people could bring the Korban Pesach on the Pesach Rishon because they were Tmeim Lenefesh Adam, and they could do that. He says, okay, all right. What do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? Aaron Moshe, you still there? What's up?
I wanted to say that the Medrash says on these people that they are Anoshim Kesherim V'Charedim. I don't know if it's the first time in the where they use the word Charedi here. It says they are Anoshim Kesherim V'Charedim. Because, like we just said, they're potter from doing the Pesach Sheni. Why are they worried about that? Potter, there's no reason for them to do it. But the thing is, they want to do mitzvahs. So the Medrash calls them Anoshim Kesherim V'Charedim. Yeah. Also, one other thing, we have some similar case like this. We have a very similar case in Barachas that we had recently, we did in the Gemara, where the Gemara says the altar Mulag Eden, they would bring in their truma the front door in order to give Maisa, but the others brought it in through the side door, through the garage, so that they don't have to give Maisa. They wanted to give Maisa. They wanted to do it.
Right, yeah. Based on what you said, I want to add on a piece. I'm looking for it here in the Sefer. Let me find out where this is. So this is in Yud Aleph. One second before that, I'm looking for it. One minute. Where are they? Give me 1 second. Let me look at my notes. Anyway, there's a piece that says, like you're saying, Aaron Moshe, that let me look for it. Not this. Lama Nigara, 1 second. Yeah, page 53. Yeah, so he brings down, wait. I don't really see it here. Yeah, it should be 55. Yeah. So he quotes from Rav Shlomo Cohen of Radomsk. He says, we never see by a mitzvah that you get tashlumen. In other words, you didn't wave the lulav during Sukkot, you make it up the week after. Like we don't see you didn't put on tefillin today, you know, make it up by putting it on tomorrow. We don't see that by mitzvahs generally. So he says, but only by Korban Pesach we see it. So why? He says, like you were saying, Aaron Moshe, because they were so mishtadel, they would do such effort. Nice to have you with us, Eitan. Welcome. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Because they were talking about the Pesach Sheni. Since they were so mishtadel to have it, and they were asking, Lama Nigara, so Memela, because they showed that Mesiris Nefesh, we want the mitzvah, so they got a period to do Teshlumen. And he says, and the Geul of Klai Yisrael will be that way as well, that if they'll be determined to get Eretz Yisrael, they'll get the Yeshua. It's interesting. Shlomo Cohen of Radomsk lived in the 19th century, and from this statement, it sounds very, very Zionist. Okay, now, let me just say some more things on this Lama Nigara. So Rav Simon spoke about this a couple of years ago. That was in his Sefer, the piece I did from the Agra de Kalo. But we mentioned that the Gemara in Sukkah says that either Nosei Aaron Oshel Yosef, the people who were carrying the bones of Yosef, those are the people who were Tameh, or it was Mishael v'Yeltsafan who took, they were the cousins who took Nadav and Avihu out. Or the Gemara says that, that Osek b'meit mitzvah. People, it was a meit mitzvah and they couldn't be metahir in time. So the Sforno says, Lama nigara me'achar shetatu matinu dvar mitzvah. We became tameh for a dvar mitzvah. We're doing a mitzvah. Well, either way, we're doing a mitzvah. He says, Lama tia gurera davera. So why should we end up losing out? It was we're doing a mitzvah, and now because we did the mitzvah, we're losing out on the Korban Pesach. Does that make sense that it should be that way? In other words, it's not like, it doesn't make sense like in the universe that it should be that way. Now, he mentions, this is again from Rav Simon, it says in Pirkei Avot, Ben Azza, this is the fourth parak. Ben Azza Gomer be Ras the mitzvah kalo kibachamuro verechman avera shemitzva gurer mitzvah. One mitzvah causes another mitzvah, and then he says vavera gurer sheschar mitzvah schar mitzvah avera avera. So what's the difference between the two statements? Mitzvah gurer mitzvah, a mitzvah causes another mitzvah, and schar mitzvah, the reward for mitzvah is a mitzvah. They seem to be, you know, substantially the same. So what's the Bar Tanura explains. Mitzvah gurer mitzvah means that if I'm habituated to do mitzvot, then I end up wanting to do another mitzvah. So mitzvah gurer mitzvah. In other words, I'm on the roll. Like I'm doing one mitzvah, I want to do another mitzvah, I want to do another mitzvah, but that's just in terms of myself. I'm more habituated to do mitzvahs. And then schar mitzvah is min ha-shamayim. In shamayim, if they see that I'm a person who's interested in mitzvot, then they enable more mitzvahs to come my way. In shamayim, they see, this person's interested in mitzvahs. Let's give him a way that he can fulfill other mitzvahs. So again, so this hadar kush l'dukta. So why is it then that what was their taina? What was the taina of these people? So we had a little bit of the taina, but let's see what's going on. So he quotes from the Shem Shmuel, that's Shmuel Borenstein. He says that, so what the Sforno says is good, he says, and that's one derech, that they did a mitzvah, they shouldn't be left out of a mitzvah, but he's got to flip on it. This only works if you say the pshat is that they were Nosei Aaron Oshel Yosef, assuming that these people are the ones who carried out Yosef. So he figures that Yosef gave a shvu to Klal Yisrael. It says at the end of Sefer Breshit, by Ashpa Yosef ibn Yisrael Lemur, that Yosef gave a shua to Klal Yisrael, whoever was there, the Jewish people at that time, that you should all, Bali Temet Asmotai Mizeitchem, you're going to get out, and I want you to take my bones with you. So that being the case, this was an obligation on all of Klal Yisrael. So everybody, every Jew, is obligated to take the bones of Yosef out. But certain people specifically undertook to do it. So everybody wasn't Tameh, but they were Tameh. So they were saying that just like if a whole Sibur is Tameh, so then they bring the Korban Pesach even in state of Tuma, right? It's Tuma, Tuma Hutra but Sibur. You know, so if the all of Klal Yisrael is Tameh or most of Klal Yisrael is Tameh, so then they get to bring the Korban Pesach and Pesach Rishon. So if some people, so most people are Tamei and some are Tahor. So the Tamei bring people the Korban and the Tahor people bring the Korban because the whole Tzibur was never pushed over. So their taina was, we're Tamei, but we're Tamei because we were engaged in a communal obligation. That's why we're Tamei. So we should be viewed as if, like, you know, we shouldn't be cut out from it. We should be viewed, since we were doing, like, the communal obligation, so we should be viewed as, like, the Tzibur in a state of Tumah and be able to bring the Korban Pesach. So the Medrash brings down the Zchus of Yosef, we have Pesach Katan, that means, like, Pesach Sheni. And the Medrash says, Yosef Shehuda Ba'artzo, Nikbar Ba'artzo. Yosef, when he's, you know, he says, Ki gunov gunavti me'eretz ha'ivrim. He says, I was kidnapped from, you know, from land of the Ivrim. I'm a Hebrew, and I was taken from land of the Hebrews. So he was zoka to be buried in Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu was not that way, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes off like he's a Mitzri, and he overhears the daughters of Yitro saying, Ish Mitzri Hislanim Yadaroim, and he was hiding outside, he didn't say anything, he didn't correct them. So he was not Zocha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Medrash brings down. So he says that Yosef, who admitted he's Zocha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and his Zechus, everybody was Meshubad, everybody was obligated to bring it up. And so Mamela, who didn't notate she the chetum of Yasubarishon. So because of that, it's the argument makes a lot of sense. So that makes a lot of sense that they had that argument. And because of this whole argument, then they were Zoche for Pesach Sheni. They were Zoche for Pesach Sheni. All right. Now I'm gonna you want to say, okay, Aaron Moshe and Olivia. Okay, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe?
I saw in the parish, I think it was from the Shem Shmuel or maybe from his father, that they talk about the reason Yaakov Avinu was buried in the Miyos HaMachpelah because both of his parents are there. So therefore, the bones, his bones and his body, which are given by the father and the mother,
right, I hear,
are both there. He says, Yosef, it's my kid, Yosef, only his bones are buried over there. Why? Because his mother is buried somewhere else.
Yeah, but Yosef's not buried in Maran Machpelah. But
he's buried in Eretz Yisrael.
In Eretz Yisrael. But wait a second.
In Eretz Yisrael. Both Amman and Yocheved didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Yeah, but it sounds nice, but. Rachel is buried in Eretz Yisrael. So Rachel, his mother's buried in Eretz Yisrael, and his father's buried in Eretz Yisrael.
He's saying that she didn't make it to the Miyos HaMachpelah.
All right. It sounds nice. Okay. All right. Now
I never heard what is Pesach Katan.
That's Pesach Sheni.
Ah, that's another name.
Right. It's just called Pesach.
Thank you,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, all right, now let me go on. Now, so the idea is that when a person's doing a mitzvah, he shouldn't be losing things out on it. Fern, you gotta mute yourself, Fern.
I have a question.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, what's up, Fern? Okay. Go ahead. I'm having a lot of difficulty hearing you. Fern, it's not a good connection. I'm having difficulty hearing you.
He also freezes up.
All right, I got it. Fern. I'll go on. I'll pause later on. I'm sorry, the connection's not good. Okay, I'm sorry, Fern. Okay, now now he mentions that there's a famous mishnah that we would say every Friday night in Bamei Madlikin. Hamechaber aner bnei shum dreim and they goyim they listim they ruach ra'ah or b'shul achol sheishan patur. If a person puts out a candle on Friday night, basically for pikuach nefesh. So if you blow out the candle for pikuach nefesh, so you're fine. You're not chayim for doing malach on Shabbos, for certainly. But then the Mishnah says, it says, kechasal ner, kechasal Hashem, and kechasal p'tila chayav. If a person puts it out because he's trying to save the ner here doesn't mean the candle, the ner means the lamp. In other words, the lamp, he doesn't want the lamp to get ruined. He says, or you want to save, in other words, you don't want the lamp to get ruined, and you don't want to use up the oil, and you don't want to use up the wick. So you blow it out. So then the Tana Kama, the Mishnah says you're chayiv. You're chayiv because there is no heter to blow it out under those circumstances. Now, the Gra, so this is brought down in the Steil Yahu in the name of the Vilna Gaon, and this is one of the things that Rav Simon likes to mention. So the Gra asks, why does it say kichasal in here, kichasal Hashem, and kichasal aptila? It should say chasal in here, chasal Hashem, and chasal aptila. In other words, he wants to save it. What is as if to save it? Kichas al aner, kichas, as if he's saving it. So the Gra says, he connects this to Gemara Masechet Beya. The Gemara learns that all of a person's income is decreed at the beginning of the year, except what he expends for Shabbos and Yontiv. If he expends more for Shabbos and Yontiv, he makes more money. He expends less for Shabbos and Yontiv, he makes less money. So it means, let's say, like, you know, so if a person, I guess he let's say, I don't know, he cuts back on his hidurim for Shabbos, so then they'll work it out. He's got to pay more money out. He will end up making less money that year. So that's what the Gra says, that here, the person, he thinks that by blowing out the candle, he's saving oil. He thinks by, like, he's saving the lamp, he's saving the wick. The MS is, by doing that, he's going to make less money. He's not saving any money. It's going to be, if he saved $100 in oil, he's going to earn $100 less this year. Maybe he'll get a couple of parking tickets or something. So that's kichasal in there, kichasal Hashem, as if to save. He's not really saving, because that's the way it's going with that. All right, now, Rav Simon mentioned about, this is a famous Rambam at the end of Hilchot Shemitah of Yovel, and Rav Bronchbiel, who was one of my Rebbeim, used to say that everybody in Kolel recites this Rambam every night before they go to sleep. The Rambam says, "Below Shevet Levi Bilvad." In other words, he talks about Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is like supported. I don't want to say welfare, but they get, you know, they get Maaser Rishon, and they get supported from the public dole or whatever, the Matnos Leviim. He says, "Below Shevet Levi Bilvad, El Kol Ish VeIsh Mikol Ba'ei HaOlam." Anybody, Mibayi Olam, comes in the world. So Rav Simon wanted to say, he was quoting from someone that wants to say, Mibayi Olam sounds like any human, not just a Jew, even a Gentile. This is Mikol Ba'ei Olam. I hope you're getting this in, Eitan. There's going to be a farher on this afterwards. Now, he says, Mikol Ba'ei Olam, Asher Nedvaru Chavoto, that his heart motivated him, Ve'vieno Mada'olu Yibalei Olam Od Lefnei Hashem L'Sharto, that Hashem has like motivated him to go serve him and to serve God. He threw off from his neck like all the cheshbonos, like, I'm not getting involved in this job, I'm not doing that, I'm doing the other thing. I want to be free of this so I could, you know, study Torah. So he's holy. Let me cut to the chase here. He'll get in this world enough to get by. It means you won't have a house in Kings Point. You won't make $1 million, but you'll have enough to get by. That's what the Rambam says. So then Rav Simon was saying, like, all right, I'll leave out this piece. Then, let me see. All right. So then he was quoting, where is this? Wait, I'm looking for something. One second. Yeah, so he was quoting from the Sefer Rinat Yitzchak. Rinat Yitzchak is by Rav Avram Yitzchak Saratskin. I think he's a grandson of Rav Zalman Saratskin. So he has a Sefer Rinat Yitzchak, and this is on his Perush on Tehillim. So there's a pasuk in Tehillim that we're all familiar with from benching. We say, "V'dor she'ashem lo yachzru kol tov," that those like Kfirim Rashu v'ra'evu, that those who seek God never lack any good. So he quotes, I left this out, he quotes from the Shalah. The Shalah says, it doesn't say that they'll have good, lo yachzru kol tov, they won't lack. So he quotes the Rambam that we just said, you'll have enough to get by with. And he says, the Rambam doesn't say that, you know, he'll have $1 zillion. And it means that what the Rambam says in Hilchot Talmud Torah, that words of Torah are only mitkayim of a person as Mesiris Nefesh, and not of a person like Mitoch Idun or Mitoch Achila. Like, I have to have all my creature comforts. I have to have this food, that food, the other thing. Words of Torah, 1 minute, we'll get you on, Moshe. Words of Torah reside in a person who's willing to, like, kill himself, to sacrifice Mitzar Gufo Tamid. So he says, basically, cutting to the chase, that's what it means. He says, "V'dor she'ashem lo yachzru kol tov." They won't lack anything that they need. In other words, they'll have whatever they need, but they won't have a zillion things. And let me just say one point, I'll get to you, Aaron Moshe. So he says, Then he quotes, Reb Simon quoted from Reb Eliyahu Lupyan, and this is from a Sefer, from Sefer Lev Eliyahu, but this is in Parshas Vayetze. You know, it's very tricky with Reb Simon to remember where he has everything, because every Parsha is all over, and he puts it together his own way, and it's like, it's hard to remember, like I was trying to remember, he had something on, I know on this thing with about the Nun Hafu code, and he said, he spoke yesterday about it, but he added, I must have been in some other Parsha. So he quotes from Eliyahu Lupyan, and he gives a mashal. He quotes from the Shalah. He says, it doesn't say that they'll have kol tov, but lo yachsru kol tov. That means they won't lack whatever they need. And he gave a mashal. He says, somebody leaves his friend's house, and he gives like a kress, a groan. He says, oh, I didn't even see like one medicine in his house. So they laugh on him. What are you groaning about? If he was sick, he needs medicines. If he's not sick, he's healthy. So there's no medicines there. So it's the simcha. You shouldn't be like, you know, cracking for that. So he says, if a person comes to the market, he works into the house of Ben Torah, he doesn't see all the excesses there, this, that, the other, this fancy thing, the other fancy thing. So he's like, it's tire, the tsar of the Tamid Chachamim. The emes is, Talmud Chacham's happy. I have everything I need. I don't need these things. In other words, let's say Talmud Chacham doesn't have, you know, the big screen TV. He doesn't want the TV. He doesn't need the TV. You know, he doesn't have like the cushy couch. He doesn't need the cushy couch. You know, he needs Sfarim. He's got his Sfarim. He's got his desk. He's got his chair. He's got what he needs. He's happy with that. So that's what he wants to say. All right, let me just summarize and then we'll hear from you, Aaron Moshe, in just 1 minute. So the basic idea we were saying is we have this mitzvah, Pesach Sheni, where they say Lama Nigara. So one thing we quoted from the Agra, the Kala, we said that what was their taina? So he says that lately. So we quote from the Orach Chaim, Lama Nigara. What do you mean? Why should we not have the mitzvah? You're Tame. That's what they say. So what's that all about? And he says, why do they say? He says, Anachnu Tameim LeNefesh Adam. Why did he say Adam? Anachnu Tameim. What or Anachnu Tameim LeNefesh? What's Nefesh Adam? So he says, Nefesh Adam means that they're Tameim to a Tzaddik. And he wants to say that a Tzaddik is not Metame. So he said, since Tzaddik is not Metame, we should be able to bring the Korban Pesach. And if you look at the answer, we said that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't say by B'nai Slavchad, speak to B'nai Slavchad and tell them this. Came B'nai Slavchad Dovrot. It says, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, speak to B'nai Yisrael and tell them, if they didn't bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, they bring Pesach Sheni to Tame. But in Achinami, they had a good Taina and they could bring the Korban Pesach Rishon. Then we mentioned from that was from Rav Simon also, but it was from the Agra the Kala. Then we mentioned Rav Simon in his Sefer, in his Shir that he gave a few years ago. So he said that he quotes from the Sforno, Lamani Gara, meaning we did a mitzvah. Is this make sense that we should be denied? You know, it was we became time we were doing a mitzvah. How can it be that we're doing a mitzvah? We get cut out of another mitzvah. How should that be? And then we mentioned how the Bor Tanura says, you know, that you know, mitzvah gor mitzvah and schar mitzvah that you get habituated to mitzvahs and Hashemayim will give you more mitzvahs. So that was their taina. Why should lama nigara? Why should we cut out? Doesn't mean it's not tzodek. Then we quoted the Shem Yishmuel and he said he quotes the Sforno in Achinam. It's a taina. Shem Yishmuel says the taina was that really this was the obligation of all of Klal Yisrael, assuming there were no say Aaron Oshel Yosef. That's the obligation of all of Klal Yisrael. So Mamela, so if Klal Yisrael was Tame, they'd be able to bring the Korban Pesach, so we should not be any worse off for it. And then we said in the Zechus of Yosef, they got this mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. And then we mentioned some other things about you know, if a person's righteous, so he doesn't lose out. And we said kechasal in there, kechasal Hashem, kechasal p'tilo, that people, they blow out the candle on Friday night. They think they're saving money. They're not saving money because it was nigzar at the beginning of the year how this would work. And then we said, v'dor she'Hashem lo yachsru kol tov, those who seek Hashem won't lack. Not that they'll have a zillion dollars. They won't lack whatever they need. They have whatever they need. And then we mentioned also, and our emotion alluded to this, we quoted from Shlomo Cohen of Radomsk, why did they get Pesach Sheni? Nice to have you with us, Zachary. Why did they get Pesach Sheni? They got Pesach Sheni because they had this Shemesh Shuka, the desire for it. And that's why they got the mitzvah. The other mitzvahs, we don't see Teshlumen for it. This day you had Teshlumen. And Rev Konigsberg mentioned that to me as well once. Okay, what do you got for me, Aaron Moshe?
Rev Pam used to say to us, Alo Shalom, in the base letter, she used to say, why did the Rabbi Shalom put a little bit of man? Where did we keep the man? The man is in the Aron Kodesh. He's in the Aron. He says, why did he put the man in the Aron? He says, isn't it worthwhile that you should take a job that saves your neshama, that it should be, take a job in chinuch, take a job in Yiddishkeit, not to go out to the outside world where you have all the schmutz.
Yeah, I think it was
like you said, you'll make less money off living Kingsport. Yeah. You might not even be right next.
Yeah, but, I think it was Rav Palm who said, so they'll paint their house like, you know, once every 7 years instead of every other year. In other words, like with going into chinuch, he didn't think it was such a okay.
What you take a job there? That's why the man is there.
The who what? Say again.
That's why the man was put to the Aron Kodesh. And Musa Haskell to take the job close to Yiddishkeit, close to Torah.
All right. What do you got for me, Olivia? Olivia, you have to unmute yourself.
I wanted to report about Kefirim Rashu Veraevu Bedarshe Hashem Yarsaru Koltov. Rabbitson Abby reported a chidush from her dad that he said that instead of reading Kefirim Rashu, we have to say Kofrim Rashu.
All right.
Kefirim Rashu.
Who said this?
It's a chidush of the dad of Rabbitson Abby.
Wait, I don't want to say it again.
Rabbitson Abby Lerner.
Oh, the Rabbitson Abby Lerner. Rabbitson Abby Lerner said that.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, let me mention some other short pieces, and then we're going to wrap this thing up, and that'll be it. Now, one of the incidents in the Parsha is this: the Sanhedrin gets instituted. Esfali Shivamish Music Nei Israel gathers 70 people, but so the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered 72 people. In other words, he had 72 people. He had how many from each shevet? Is that six from each shevet, right? 72, right. So he had six from every shevet. Is that right? Am I doing the math right? Six, yeah. So six from every shevet. And you know, I didn't say right. Skip it for six from every shevet. I don't know if six from every shevet. But 70 people. No, wasn't it six from every shevet? What does the Torah say? One second. Let me just take a look.
72 times 6 is 6 times 12.
Yeah, but was it a 6 from every shevet? Let me take a look. One second. Bahalotcha. Let me take a quick look. One second. In Bahalotcha. One second. I'm looking. One second. Where is it? Oh, where is this? Okay, I'm having difficulty finding it right now. It's here. Wait. Okay, here they do this. One second. Okay, I got it. No, anyway. Oh, here it is. I got it now. Yeah. So, as Shivim Yish Music Nei Yisrael, let me see what Rashi says. One second, Ted Zion. One second. 16.
Eliezer, I'm hungry.
All right, one minute. All right, anyway. All right, anyway, so he ends up gathering 72 people. He ends up gathering 72. All right. Anyway, so he gathers up 72 people, and I think it's six from every shevet, and he takes out patakin, he takes out pieces of paper. So on each piece of paper, he writes zakein, and two he leaves blank. And then everybody goes to like this you know, pot and pulls out a slip of paper. It's like the lottery. They pull a slip of paper. So Mishi Alabia Darashi says Zakein if Kadesh. So if it says Zakein, he became a Kudash, he got this, you know, the level to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And he says, Mishi Alabia do Chalak Amarlo Lo Makom Chavez Becha. And if it's blank, he says, no, a Kadesh Baruch Hu doesn't want you. Kind of rough, right? Now he says here that why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be so tough? Like, no, Kadosh Baruch doesn't want you. You're the reject. You know, it's like adding salt to the wound or whatever, the whole thing. So he said, he mentions here, this is quoting from the Iturei Torah, quotes from Yisod Torah. So he says that in some chumashim, it's been sort of corrected, and I looked in the art scroll. It says hamakom lo chafetz b'cha, but in the original Rashi it says lo makom chafetz b'cha. So you could say that Rashi springs down in the name of the in the Gemara from Sanhedrin kilaim. So the two that were behema baktuvim, so either the two that were left out or they might have been in the zkenim, but two of them Eldad and Medad, so they gave nevuah. They said, Moshe meif Yeshua machnis, and then Yeshua comes and says, Adoni Moshe klaim. You should lock them up. Get the, or so he says klaim. Hatel alehem tzarchi tziburim kalim alehem. So one shot is, give them like a public role, a public position, and you know, that'll be the end of them. They'll be so busy. I don't know, you know, Zachary and Eitan, you could say this to Bar Torah tonight for your dad, because he's got a lot of aggravation. You know, he's finishing his presidency. So you give this divorce, you say, I heard of Shir today, and I want to say this little piece in the Torah, and dad, soon you're going to be off with this, and that's the biggest zechus, and now you'll be good. So they said, Adoni Moshe Klaim, just give him a public job, and then you won't hear from them. They'll be so busy with that, that it'll be the end of it. So it comes out that, you know, busy with the tzibur isn't always such a bracha, he says, because there's a lot of chesrona with it, you know, and if your father will fill you in, you got a lot of agita from all the people, you know, this problem, that problem, the other problem, you don't have time to study Torah. He says, therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't, you know, giving him, you know, salt on the wound. He was saying, lo, you know, don't be upset. Hamakom chafeisbecha, right? It's not lo hamakom chafeisbecha. Lo, don't be upset. Hamakom chafeisbecha. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is great. Is likes you the best, so you don't have to do this. You get to steiger all the time in yeshiva, and you don't have to be part of the Sanhedrin. That's the way that goes. Now this next piece, and this will be, I guess, be my last piece for today, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Is in the name of the Gra. This, I think, is just a cute little thing. I like it. It says, Eldad made them. So they were giving nevuah that Moshe made for Yeshua Machnis. Then the nevuah is Moshe Ben is going to die, and Yeshua is going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So, and this is, again, this is before the chait of Mei Meriva, before they sinned with the rock or anything like that, and before the sin of the Meraglim. And they're giving nevuah, Moshe Ben is going to die here in the Midbar, and Yeshua is going to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. So, you could say, like, in a cute way, Chazal bring us down to the Gemara Masech Megillah, Mila B'Sela Mashtuka B'Train. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, if Mila B'Sela, if a word is worth one Sela, Mashtuka, silence is worth two. It's like silence is golden. Mila B'Sela, a word is worth one Sela, Mashtuka B'Train. So silence is worth two Selaim. So the Gra wants to say a different pshat. He says the fact that Moshe couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael is because of the chait of Mei Meriva. He sinned with the rock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to speak to the rock, and instead he hit the rock. And that's the way Rashi learns. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have spoken to the rock, so as he was commanded, so then he would have entered Eretz Yisrael. So Mila B'Sela, the Gra wants to say, is if a word to the Sela, not a, if a word is worth a Sela, Mila B'Sela, if Moshe Rabbeinu had said a word to the Sela, Mashtuka B'Train, he would have silenced these two, Eldad and Medad. You got it? Zachary and Eitan, you got it? Eitan, you got this? Okay, give a thumbs up, Eitan. I want to see a thumbs up. Okay, good. Okay, now, and you have your Devar Torah tonight for dinner for your father, right? Okay, so let's remember, so it's Vehema Baktuvim, that this is Loa Makom Chafes Becha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you. No, he does want you. Now you don't have the Sarchei Tzibur. So you say, Dad, in a few days, you're not going to be president. So that's it, the biggest bracha. Anyway, all right, now, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? All right, I think that's going to be it for today then. Nice having everybody. And a nice having you, Zachary and Eitan. I'm sorry you didn't join earlier. We had some other nice Divrei Torah, I thought, here. But other, Bruchim to you. And, Shabbat Shalom. Okay, Fern, nice having you. I'm sorry I couldn't hear you better, Fern. Okay, and Aaron Moshe, I'm sorry I couldn't hear you better either. Okay, let me stop the recording here right away. Bye-bye. Let me stop recording. Shabbat Shalom.